Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Today I place before you the question. What knits together Uncle Will's tale of a king who throws a royal tantrum so colossal it spans 16 years, a shepherd and a suspiciously lifelike statue, and his tumultuous tale of a whinging war hero so allergic to humility he practically begs a mob to banish him? Now, most of you would be perfectly justified in thinking that The Winter's Tale and Coriolanus both explore what happens when powerful men mistake their egos for universal truths. And you'd be in good company, thinking that, after all, critics, scholars, and actors with various double-barreled surnames have said as much. But what I have in mind is something rather more solitary. If you're confused, you're not alone. But you might be isolated, abandoned, dare I say, forsaken. See what I did there? No? Because it's somewhere between the Sicilian shores of Palermo and the Italian capital of Rome that Uncle Will first gave the English language, not the Italian, the word lonely. That, of course, would have been solitario, but that would be a step to fare digressione. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. As time is short, we must leave aside William's Winter Tale for the moment, which, by the way, has the single best stage direction ever. Exit, pursued by a bear, and enter into the bemarbled world of ancient Rome. Caius Martius, a Roman general, earns the name Coriolanus after a military victory against the Volscians, but struggles to transition from warrior to politician. His disdain for the common people and refusal to flatter them leads to his banishment from Rome. In Act 4, we find Coriolanus preparing to leave the city, with his inconsolable mother trying somewhat in vain to comfort her.
"'Tis to laugh at him. My mother, you wot well, my hazards still have been your solace, and belief not likely, though I go alone, like to a lonely dragon that his fen makes feared and talked of more than seen. Your son will or exceed the common or be caught with cautelous baits and practice."
"My first son."
Now, you would not be alone in thinking that lonely is indeed formed from the word alone, which, as you may not know, comes from the Old English al ona, al meaning entire or whole, and ona meaning one, so entirely or wholly one or alone. Uncle Will would add the suffix li, and with it usher in not just a sense of singularity and apartness, but a sense of isolation and emotional desolation. From there, Lonely would wander off, by itself, from Rome and end up in England's Lake District, where another Uncle William, this time Wordsworth, would gaze up from his field of daffodils and start his poem with, "I wandered lonely as a cloud." Now from there, let's leave Uncle Wordsworth in his field next to the Cumbrian glacial lake of Ulswater in 1802, and head south some 119 miles and 164 years into the future to meander down Penny Lane in Liverpool, where John, Paul, George, and Ringo give a shout-out to the solitary Eleanor Rigby, and you, if you happen to be listening on your own.
"Look at all the lonely people. Look at all the lonely people. Eleanor Rigby."
Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.